Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the AfridaLoveShow.com, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host tonight, Dr. Afrida Love, and this is the day, the night that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm very excited and delighted that each and every one of you have decided to join me on tonight as we speak about a spiritual guide on the go, and we just talk about the goodness of God, and I just have a conversation with you. Thank you so much for joining. We're going to start out by reading Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9, and it reads as such. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever, who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the ears, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask that you continue to be with us and stand by us and help us, Lord, to be who you would have us to be. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your divine sovereignty. We thank you for the doors that are opening, and we thank you for the opportunities. We thank you for the platforms, and we ask that you continue to help us to spread the message of God and spread the message of education and health and wellness and all of those great things, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us to focus on you. Our eyes are lifted up into the hills from which cometh all of our help. Our ears are listening attentively as you're giving the word of God, and our mouths are speaking praises and positively because we know that all things work together for all of those individuals who love the Lord and who calls upon his name. We ask, Heavenly Father, would you bless those who are in the hospitals, those who are coming out, and those who are thinking about going in. We thank you, Lord, for the answered prayers. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just blessing us, our families and our friends and those who we know and those who we do not know. We ask that this ministry continue to be something that is pleasing in your sight and bless the individuals to come to this particular ministry to share their gifts so that it can be spread abroad. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the platform. Now, Lord, as we go into the study of a spiritual guide on the go, we ask that you bring in new perspectives. We ask that you give those who would like to read the book a new perspective about who you are and what you can do. We ask that I speak life into dead situations. We ask, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we raise those up who are down, will we build what is cast down, and will we continue to just be a powerful, powerful insignia in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything you've done and the things you're going to do. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you continue to help us to listen to you, Lord, and to evict the noise of the world. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the discernment. We thank you for giving us power and majesty in the name of Jesus. We ask that you bless each youth all over this land and country, those who are out of place and those who are in place, Lord. We ask, Heavenly Father, with the spirit of obedience come upon our youth and the spirit of success and the spirit of friendship and the spirit of godliness come up on each and every person, Lord. And now, Lord, as we relinquish this particular prayer, we ask, Heavenly Father, with your anointing, cover the word of God. And we ask that something be said or done within this particular segment that will magnify who you are. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And we ask that we continue to be faithful unto you. This is one of your servants' prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to kick it off by listening to the Florida Mass Choir. And actually, we're going to listen to Brother Benny Hinn first, then the Florida Mass Choir. Amen. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. Amen. And that is the only purpose that we're here. We're coming to worship God. We're going to forget about ourselves, and we're going to concentrate on him, and we're going to worship him. We're not going to listen to the noise. We're not going to listen to the naysayers. We're going to listen to the positiveness and the power of God. You're listening to AfridaLove.com, where Jesus shines with love, and I am your host tonight, Dr. Afrida Love. This is Benny Hinn. We have come into this house. Pastor Benny Hinn, we have come into this house. And you can sing along. Amen. Amen.
Come into this house and gather in his name to worship him.
We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ.
So forget about yourself
and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him. Forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house, gathered in his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen. That was Pastor Benny here. We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him, who? God, and worship him. Amen. Now we're going to listen to the Florida Mass Choir, All in His Hands. And then I'm going to introduce to some and present to others my book that has won numerous awards entitled A Spiritual Guide on the Go. I have updated some things in the book, and so God's will, when the book makes it to New York, there will be some updates within the book. So be sure to pick up your copy. Be sure to come see me. Hey, man, it's going to be on the weekend, so be sure to come see me. Come say hello. I'm the author of A Spiritual Guide on the Go by Dr. Afrita Love, Coach Love, Afrita Love. All right? So we're going to listen to Florida Mass Choir, All in His Hands. You're listening to Afrita Love, Zaka, where Jesus shines with love.
Ah!
that was the Florida Mass Choir. All in his hands. All in whose hands? All in God's hands. Amen. And when we put everything in God's hands, we know for a fact that everything is going to be all right. Amen. You are listening to AfridaLove.com, where Jesus shines with love. Currently working on the website. I've been saying that for about 4 or 5 months, but trying to get some logos going and trying to see what content I want on the website. Amen. One of the things that we have to add is a website or a part of the website for some of the literature and books. But I want to introduce to some and present to others A Spiritual Guide on the Go, Perfecting Your Walk with God by Dr. Afridi Manya Love. And one of the things that I want you to know about this book is that the reason why the book has about 50 pages is because the implication or the purpose of having 50 pages is for individuals to actually read the book, because it's filled with a lot of substance from the Word of God. This book will be featured in New York, so anyone who is in New York, please stop by and say hello and at least pick up a card and check out the book. I'll be running a special on the book because I want to make sure I get this book in as many hands as possible. If you want to purchase the book before time, you can go to bookwhirl.com, and that's BOOKWHIRL.com, BOOKWHIRL.com. Or you can simply email me, EMONYA_love@yahoo.com, EMONYA_love@yahoo.com, and I can send you an electronic copy. Then when you come to the presentation where my book will be featured, I will sign it for you, and I'll have some cards for you and things of that nature, okay? But in the meantime, I just want to introduce to some and present to others the book, A Spiritual Guide on the Go, Perfecting Your Walk with God by Dr. Afridi Love. The book is sold out on Amazon. It seems like as soon as they put the book on Amazon, it sells out. This is like the second or third time. But there are some other sites. But the best way to get the book is on bookworld.com. All right. So basically, when you first begin to read this particular book, the book talks about the Garden of Eden, and it talks about Adam and Eve and the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, and it talks about the serpent, and the serpent is a representation of Satan. And it speaks about when we are symbolically not under the auspice or the unction of the Holy Spirit, then we fall. As you do know that in Genesis, we found out that as soon as Jesus gave Adam and Eve the commandments to not eat of the things on the tree. And the reason why I say things is because there wasn't a specific, a lot of people say the apple, but they weren't supposed to eat anything. Just put it like that. And Jesus left. And when Jesus left, then that was when Satan was able to come in. So I kick off the book by basically showing individuals that when we are not with God, then Satan has the opportunity to come into our lives, and we begin to listen to noise. And I told individuals about relevant and irrelevant noise. That's one of my conferences. And the snake was basically irrelevant noise, because the snake is Satan. And so it's very important that as spiritual warriors that we understand the story of Adam and Eve. Then I go on speaking to you about the purpose of this particular guide. And it's to define our faith walk with God. How are we walking with God? We can quote the scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight, but when the storms of life comes and those winds begin to rage and we feel like we're being blown over, are we still going to have faith in God? And so I said that I would serve the Lord in season and out of season. And so the Lord says that he wants our faith to not be off season, amen, if you will. Follow you sports fans. We shouldn't be off season, amen. We should continue to pray unto God and have faith. And then we talked about identifying the principles involved in our faith walk. What do we need to maintain that faith? You know, we talk about exercise, how important exercise is for our bodies, but it's very important when we speak about faith. You know, there are some components that I have in this book about our faith walk. Then, of course, to increase our faith and awareness in God. It's one thing to have faith and say, well, I walk by faith and not by sight, but we have to be aware of who God is. God is huge, and God can do the impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. You know, you can remove mountains with God. God is the joy and the strength of our life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep us and never to leave us. He never comes short of his work. We have to fast and pray each and every day. We have to make sure our lives are clean in every way. And we want to go with him when he comes back. And so it's very important that we have an awareness of who God is. Then we need to evaluate our walk with God, you know, each and every day when we sit down and before we go to bed. How was my walk today? How did I treat my neighbor? How did I treat my family member? How did I treat myself? You know, a lot of us evaluate how we treat others, but how do you treat yourself? Do you listen to the noise and you act upon the noise and you become all depressed and despondent and you get caught up in your feelings and you let people control your thermostat? You can't do that. You have to be able to understand who God is in your life. And God is way bigger than the irrelevant noise. God is way bigger than that. Then I have some levels. There are some spiritual levels that we have. And I start off by talking about God. And then I go on to Jesus. And then I go on to humans. But what we must understand is that we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's the Trinity. We talk about that. And so there's no hierarchy. There's no one. There's no spirit that's greater than the other. They all work together for the good. And so in this book, we talk about God. We talk about God as being God, Jesus as being Jesus, and we talk about the creation of humans, how humans were created. And, of course, with this creation, there are some bylaws, which are the commandments. And I remind you of the commandments in here. And during our study and during the tape that we're going to make, I'm going to go into in-depth of what this means. You know, when we talk about thou shalt not kill, people think that thou shalt not kill means that you shouldn't murder someone, and it does. But it also means that we shouldn't kill people with our mouths. We shouldn't kill people with our actions and our deeds. And so it goes beyond that. It goes beyond physically doing something. It's basically in every aspect of life, the words that we speak can really kill a person. If they're not strong, that's that irrelevant noise. When we think about our babies, and I say babies because they are, you know, when they have to deal with individuals who put them down, whether it's adults, whether it's children, then their disposition goes down, and you just killed their spirit. You didn't kill them physically, but you killed their spirit. When you don't give people the opportunity, you kill their spirit. And one of the things that God revealed to me while I was writing this book, and I was going over what I was going to say, was that we always have to know people for ourselves. You know, God says in the spiritual sense, people can't give us, in other words, people can't, God says people, let me get this right, as God is speaking. In the spiritual sense, God says when we talk about his people, when we talk about anyone on earth, he says that there's no room for judgment for anyone. He says you tell about the great qualities and you tell about the things that individuals can do, and God says he will take care of the rest. And what God means is that any time, what God is saying when we say love thy neighbor as thyself, that doesn't mean that you say I love you. That means that you show it in your actions. What can I do to help this person become successful? That's the mindset. God says that's the mindset. That's the millionaire mindset. When we talk about the millionaire mindset, God says money can't touch that. We're not talking about abundance as far as monetary things. We're talking about when we had that mindset, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. God says he fills your life with abundance. He says you would not necessarily have for instance, at one time, $1 million within your hand, but God says that you have access to $1 million. And he says with that, he says anything that you need, that you desire, God supplies it for you. He says, because I am your shepherd. He says, because your mind is in Christ Jesus. When our minds are in Christ Jesus and not in the world, then we obtain abundance. Okay? So those are the commandments. We talk about spiritual gifts. Each and every person, believe it or not, has a spiritual gift. And I talk about the spiritual gift of administration, discernment, evangelism, faith, giving, helping, hospitality, wisdom, mercy, pastoring, service, teaching, leadership, your spiritual gift, your desirable gift. And then I go into different phases of what each of these gifts mean in the spiritual, you know, in the spiritual realm. When we talk about evangelism, that is basically a directive from God. He wants us to go in the highways and byways and preach and teach the word of God. Well, what we find out is that individuals just stay in their particular places on every Sunday, which that's no problem because the sheep are coming. But God showed me the parable a couple of days ago, and I shared this with you, the parable of the sheep. God said, I had 99 sheep, and one went astray. And I went to go find that one sheep, although I had 99, who their stock was way worth more than one to the world. God says, but when one sheep leaves, he says, that one sheep is the world to me. He says, that's how much I love y'all. That's how much I care for you. I want to bring you back to the ark of safety. I want to bring you back to loving me, talking about God. I want to bring you back because I have plans for you. I have plans for you to prosper. I don't want to see you down. I don't want to see you fall. I don't want to set you up. God says, I have plans for you. He says, and because I have plans for you, there's no one who can stop my plans that I have for you to be successful and prosperous. And so we talk about, well, we talk about Jesus' directive and his evangelism. He expects us to go out. He says, because there are sheep who are out there and they're just lost. They're just wandering around. And we expect them to come into the church. Sheep are not going to do that. We were passing by, driving through some cities and towns, and we saw some cows and we saw some sheep and things of that nature. And they all stay together. And the day before yesterday, I was traveling somewhere, and it was raining, pouring down raining. And the cows, beautiful black cows, and they were standing there just looking, you know. And so God said that's just how sheep, that's what sheep do. They just stand there in their storms. They remain where they are, and they don't seek help. And so God said that's why it's so important for us to go out and for us to preach and teach the true gospel, not force it on anyone, force gospel and say, oh, you have to, you know, you have to do this or that, because God says they have to have that spirit, you know, just like when, who was that, Saul was on that road and he was persecuting. He was just talking and God had to stop him. He said, wait, he said, why are you persecuting the church? You know, he says, hold up. And so sometimes we have to go out there and we have to help them to change their disposition about what they feel about the church. And so that means we have a lot of work to do. In the church, you have to get along. You have to be able to get along. We talk about that. God's house. There are just certain things that shouldn't happen in God's house. It just shouldn't. You know, when we come into God's house, there should be peace and harmony. It's a place, God calls it a place of refuge, and this book talks about it. It's a place of refuge where people come into the house of God, and they're able to serve God in spirit and in truth. They're able to forget about yourself and concentrate on God and worship him. If church is anything other than that, it's not church. Okay? It's a gathering. And God wants us to have church. The church is our heart. And God says that you can't bring in sheep and expect them to stay if they don't feel like that's a home, they don't feel like that's their home. And so when we have sheep, I was looking in how my grandfather as well and my grandmother used to keep their cattle, you know, and then they had the fences that had the electricity on it where if anybody got too close to it who wasn't supposed to be there, they would have a jolt or they would get shocked. Well, God says that in the house of God, that's just, you know, in the house of God, he says sheep will continue to come as long as they feel protected, as long as they're, you know, as long as we're able to feed them more than the world. Because you do know that there is spiritual meat and there is worldly meat. And so if they're getting fed more in the world, then they're going to leave the church, right? And they're going to go to the world. But if we have Jesus as a fence around us, just like that cattle, right, when the world comes, the world will be shocked. And then other individuals will see how great it is in the church, how great it is to serve God, how protected you are, and how God will keep you, and how God will sustain you, and how God will bring you out, and how God will bless you with abundance, and how God will open up the windows of heaven, and how God will open up the doors. And when people begin to see that, they'll begin to come into the church. But God says we have to go out, because right now God says that your church may be covered. You may be covered with the anointing, but the sheep cannot come in because they feel like they don't belong. And so how do you build that belonging in that safe place for the Christians? There are other aspects such as we talk about wisdom. Wisdom is very important. That's a very important subject as we talk about the gifts of Christ, having that wisdom, having that discernment. You know, I feel as we prepare for these conferences all over the world, I tell young people that it's very important that you understand the different types of noise. You know, you can. There is the relevant noise, irrelevant noise, and there's just noise that does not make any sense. And so one of the things that we talk about and that I want young people to know is that when we understand the importance of I have an echo, excuse me right quick. I don't know what's going on here, but I have some echoes in my studio here. Just give me just a second. It's echoing. I don't know why it's echoing, but it's echoing. Okay, so, wow, that's interesting. Okay, so when we talk about those particular things, those are particular gifts that we must have, the wisdom, and young people must have that. And if we continue to build that within the minds of our young people, then they will understand how to filter out that noise. But if you take in, if you receive everything that you hear, then you will be wayward and you will lack faith. God says that when you we take in everything, I mean every single thing, every, you know, somebody tells you God's going to bless you, you say I accept that. But when someone tells you something negative, you don't accept that. You don't receive that. You have an opportunity. You have a choice. God says, I have plans for you. I don't care what somebody told you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it sounds like. It doesn't matter. God says, I have plans for you. I have plans for your life. And you accept those things that are positive within your life. Do not allow anyone to make you feel any indifferent. Do not allow anyone to cause you to have a circumstance where you keep your head down, that you're ashamed and you're embarrassed. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so God says that hold your head up. He says walk in victory, walk in success. It doesn't matter because you know what? When we die, we don't have to go before the people. We have to go before God. And so nobody has a heaven or hell to put. So therefore, the naysayers and the negative people, you don't have to listen to them. You listen to the individuals who are helping you to move forward. Now, that's the difference between listening to someone and saying, you know what, how you treated that person was not good. You don't tell them, oh, I'm not listening to you because that's negative. No, they're telling you something that's right to make your life better. But when you have people that want you to have your head down, be despondent, embarrassed, ashamed, you don't have to deal with that, period. You hold your head up and you move with dignity because you know who you belong to. Amen? Amen. And so we talk about wisdom. It's very important. And I can't stress it enough about young people. It's very important that you continue to have high self-esteem. And part of having high self-esteem is, believe it or not, is knowing the word of God, knowing that God says that He loves you, knowing that God says, I have plans for you. God doesn't want to see you, he doesn't want to see you fail. He wants to see you do well. He wants to see you prosper, right? And so anything that's negative, anybody that's negative, you don't have to listen to that stuff. That's all it is stuff. And believe it or not, I tell people this all the time, and I'm talking to my listeners. I feel very comfortable speaking to you, and you know I tell you the truth. It's the truth. And I'm going to say it, and I can't stress it enough. I just can't. Some people want to see you fail. Some people want to see you succeed, period. They will worry and worry and worry about your business, and they have no stake in it, no investment. They're not paying for anything. They'll worry about your business, and their business is going lacking. And then you, on the other hand, and I continue to say this because I'm getting the questions in my inbox, you, on the other hand, you will feed into that mess. And then your harvest will begin to die. There are going to be some people no matter what. They're going to want to know your business. They're going to be in your business. And they're going to continue to talk about your business because they want you to fall, because you do, God has blessed you. And God says, anything I bless you with, he says, you're going to keep it. And so when God begins to bless in the second phase, then they're really going to be talking. And you have to stay focused because God wants to take you further and further. God says, you keep walking. I tell young people all the time, and I'm continuously reading it, okay? Talk about this, young people. Let's talk about three aspects, okay? When you get upset, for instance, for whatever reason, right? That's no reason to go and hurt somebody. That's no reason to go and blow up some schools, right? You have to learn how to listen to the positive noise and the negative noise. And one of the things that happens, young people, is that when you become upset, when people know that what they say upsets you, they're going to keep doing it. But if you learn how to filter out, you got to come to my conference. Y'all have to be there. Filter out all of that noise, negativity. You can walk right through it. You know, it was kind of like in the military going through the gas chamber. I could not stand it. But I had on my mask, and I said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to walk right through it. And I passed. And so that's the same thing with negative noise, negative people. You have to pass right through that stuff. You can't get upset, young people, and go and blow up the school. You can't get upset and go do something to somebody. You can't get upset and do something to yourself. Tell your parents. You can't do something to yourself, okay? It's not worth it. It's not worth hurting yourself because of ignorance of somebody else. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how much money you have, how much money you don't have. It affects a lot of people, and you have to get to the point where you love yourself more than those negative words. We've all fallen short. You have to say, hey, we all fallen short of God's glory, right? And so you have to learn how to continue to walk through all of that. And no, of course, it's not right and it's not fair when people continue to do that. That's not right and that's not fair. But you can't control that, but you can control yourself, and you can be better than that, and you can move up. And so it's very important that you don't allow people, I said, to control your thermostat, your emotional thermostat, but you don't allow people to control how you feel about yourself, young people. There's no reason why you should think that you're not worth living. You're too young. 6 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old. You're too young to have problems. Yeah, that's what you have parents for. But I need y'all to come to my conference. It's very important because you have to understand that people who are talking irrelevant noise, you have something that they want and they can't get it. So therefore, your name is always on their brain, or they're always talking, or they want to see you fail, or they just want to see you down or out, and that's not going to happen if you have God, because God says, I'm always going to lift you up. He says, if I be lifted up, he says, I'll draw all men unto me. And so you don't have an option but to go up when you lift God up. Amen? So there's no need for you to hold your head down. There's no need for you to be ashamed and embarrassed. You keep moving because we've all fallen short of God's glory. But if people understand and if they know that that gets under your skin, if they know that that bothers you and that you'll be so sad, oh, I'm so embarrassed, I don't think so. You keep going. You keep moving. Life goes on. It's a process. You have to get to that point. See, you have to get to that point. You have to have a relationship with God to get to that point. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. But I really want you to think about, young people, before you get upset with somebody, before you want to go and do something to a whole bunch of people, think, what else can I do? You can pray. What else can I do? You can tell your parents. What else can I do? You can just say, you know what? I'm going to walk right through this. When people see that it's not bothering you, they'll stop. Some people maybe continue to go on because they don't have anything better to do, and their life is not great either, so they'll continue. But for the most part, most people will stop because it doesn't bother you. It's life goes on, you know. And so you have to get to that point. But you got to come to my conference so you understand. But I want you to understand that people do that. The reason why is because their lives are small and because they have nothing better to do. And you have something. When people talk about you, young people, listen to me. You have something that they can't get. Maybe you're pretty. Maybe you have pretty hair. Teenagers, maybe you have a nice car. Maybe you make good grades. Maybe you're good in sports. I don't know. Maybe you're dating someone that someone else wants. I don't know. Maybe you have a nice car. I don't know. Maybe you serve the Lord. Maybe you're well known. Maybe you are just a great person. Everybody loves your personality. Okay. You have something that they want. You have to understand that, young people. It's not really what they're talking about. You have something that they can't have access to because God has given it unto you. And so when you learn to focus and stop listening to negativity, stop worrying about people, and, you know, if people want you to feel all sad and, oh, my God, it's not going to happen. Once you're strong in the Lord, it's not going to happen, right? Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's not going to happen, you know. And so you walk with your head up, and you continue to move on. The life goes on. You don't stop living because of stupidity. You don't stop living, as this book is talking about, those who lack wisdom and understanding, that once you throw something out at your words, those words boomerang right back to you because somebody's thinking something worse about you. And so it's very important that you have wisdom, young people, and that, you know, when you invest in someone, when you really love someone, whether it's a friendship, love, or whatever it is, then you value what they say. That's a whole different ballgame. And so when you have that particular thing, right, you're going to have to be really strong too, because someone may slip up. They may say something they really don't mean. It doesn't mean that it's the end of the world, right? Because somebody says something. It doesn't mean that you want to do away with people because you're upset with them. There are other ways. People do that. They talk and they gossip and they say all these other things, or they'll want you to feel embarrassed and all. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You have to be strong enough, wise enough, intelligent enough to know that you have something that they want. That's the only reason why people gossip, people lie. That's the only reason. You have something they want, period. And once you understand that, and then you understand the other processes of wisdom, it won't bother you at all. It will not. Because usually people who have a life, they acknowledge your life. They pray for your life, but they're not in your business unless that's your family or your significant other or whomever. Because to me, if you're not investing in my life, then really the negativity that you have is irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything because you're not investing in my life, you know. But if you have someone investing in your life, pouring into your life, then, yeah, I want to know exactly what you're thinking, what you think matters to me as far as I'm concerned about me. About me. I'm not talking about, you know, when we talk about business and all that. I'm talking about your feelings and what you say about me matters. But if you're negative and you're not pouring into my life, I could really care less. Seriously, it doesn't matter. You can think what you want to think, say what you want to think. It won't bother me because it means absolutely nothing. Okay? When we talk about, so these are just some of the examples of gifts that we talk about in the Bible. Then, of course, we have examples of individuals who walked with God. We talked about Noah and how he obeyed God, how he built that ark. And everybody was laughing because Noah built the ark. There was no sign of a storm, but God told Noah. And guess what? I continue to say this story. Noah was saved because he obeyed God. And obedience is very important when we talk about the Word of God. That's why I tell young people, you know, if you're really going through, and I can't stress this enough, if you're really going through a storm, it's best to pray about it, talk to your parents about it, and seek some help. Suicide is not the answer. Going up, you know, into a school or into wherever and hurting people, that's not the answer, right? Because God wants us to love one another, and he doesn't want us to hurt ourselves either. That's a sin, to hurt ourselves. And so it's very important, if we can spare as many lives as possible, then let's do that. And so when we talk about obedience, if you're, like I said, if it's really that bad, whatever that is, and you haven't attended my conference and you feel like, you know, I'm weak, I can't just walk through this. It happens every day. They just, you know, they just come up in my face and they just say things. You know, if that's your story, then you need to seek help to your parents. You also need to stand up for yourself as well. Say, I don't like it when you know. And so it's very important, young people, that you obey God. That means you pray to God. Ask God to keep you safe. Ask God to be a fence around you every single day. There's no need. There's nobody on this earth that should be able to tap into your mental stability. Nobody on this earth. Now, those people who are pouring into your lives, your parents, community leaders, some of your teachers, those are the individuals whose thoughts about you really matter. Any naysayer, any person who's talking, wants you to feel down, it doesn't matter because they're not investing in your life. They don't have any stake in your life, number one. And so even if they was in your life or out of your life, it really wouldn't matter, right? Because they're not in your life. They're not investing in your life. When I say investing, I'm not talking about monetarily. I'm speaking about the words. We invest in people's lives by the words that we speak to them. That's why I'm very careful with the words that I speak to people, because I want to invest in their lives. I want to make sure that I'm setting them up for success. If you ask me how many times I was negative today, I would probably say none, because I don't have time. Because negativity has no place in my life. It really doesn't. It has no place. I didn't make room for negativity. Everything is dressed right dress. Everything is together, and it's positive. When I wake up in the morning, God's will, I'm expecting a good day. If it's raining, if there's a storm in my life, I'm expecting some sun to shine within that storm. You know, it was pouring down raining once again when I went out of town. Pouring down raining. I said, there has to be some sun somewhere. There has to be. It can't rain like this the whole time. And it's lacked up, you know, because I was expecting that. I didn't say, woe is me, it's a storm. Here we go again, it's raining again. No. I understand it has to rain. I understand that we have to go through storms. But you know what? I know that the storm's not going to last always. I know that it's going to finally ease up. And so when you have storms, and that's what this book is talking about, just like Noah, when you have storms in your life, young people, it's not the end of the world. It's not a fact where you go and get upset and want to hurt a whole bunch of people, or you want to hurt yourself. It's going to finally pass away, you know. And in that storm, there are going to be some things that occur, some changes within you and your thinking and your perspectives, but that's okay. But you're going to survive. There's nothing on this earth that it is so strong that God can't handle. And you have to learn how to put all these things, like that song said, in God's hands. You know, people, I try to tell you that all the time. That's why we're having this particular conference, is because you need to understand that you are somebody. You need to understand that you don't have to listen to negativity. And you have to understand that you need to listen to the people who are investing in your life, investing, giving you value, you know. And let's just be real. I'm going to tell you about the real life. You know, the real life is that when you get older, you know, there are going to be people who don't like you just because. There's not a reason why people don't like you. You know, people don't like you just because of maybe your personality, just because of maybe the way you look, or just because of what you drive, or just because of what they've heard, or just because of what they know. It's going to be some just because as people as well. What are you going to do? You're going to get mad at them, and you're going to stop living, and you're going to stop being who you are, and you're going to start worrying about that? No, you move on with your life. And those people who are just because people, then they can continue to be just because people, but because they're not investing in your life. And so you have to understand what to worry about and what not to worry about. And then you have to understand the relevant noise and the irrelevant noise. You have to understand those things, and when you begin to understand those things, some things just don't matter. Okay? I tell people that all the time. You know, when we deal with teens, we have teen camps. They say, well, this person don't like me. Why don't they like you? They just don't like who I am. They never did like me. We have personality conflicts. No, it's something about you that they don't like. And sometimes you don't have to do it. Nothing. You don't have to do absolutely nothing for somebody not to like you. And people have to understand that, and you have to learn to move on. Life goes on. Life goes on, and you have to learn that. But when I talk to young people who are 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, they don't understand that concept. So what you have to do, what we have to do, is we have to teach them how to have self-esteem, how we have to teach them assertiveness, and we have to teach them about the noises. Okay? All right. So yeah, here we are. We talk about some different individuals. We have Moses. We have Daniel, who was very faithful to God. We have Paul, who was called out from the crowd. And you know, young people, I tell you this too, that sometimes you're a good student. Sometimes your teacher selects you to be in different things and to be leaders of different organizations, or your pastor may want you to lead something, or a community leader might ask you to lead something, or what have you. You need to do it. Stop listening to those people. I know that peer pressure is very prominent with young people, especially teens. But if someone feels like you can do it, they are relevant noise that you should be listening to. Don't listen to the naysayers, and sometimes you don't need to listen to yourself, because sometimes self says, oh, you can't do that. You're not good enough. Somebody else needs to do it. You need to listen to the positive things in your life, those insurmountable things that you feel like you can't achieve. You need to try, because sometimes you can succeed at those particular things. And then, of course, we have Abraham, who was faithful to God. We have Joshua. We talk about him, who was leading by example. We talk about John the Baptist. We talk about Joseph, who endured to the end. We talk about God is with us, David. And we also talk about Emmanuel, right? And one of the things that I want you to understand is God is Alpha and Omega. But I also want you to understand, young people, is that when you decide that you're going to do something, whether it's school, whether it's a project, whatever it is, you need to start it and you need to finish it. You know, we talk about school. There shouldn't be any such thing as dropping out of school. If it gets too hard, talk to your teachers, you know, find tutors, right, and things of that nature, because you need an education. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. You say, well, I'm 16. I'm old enough to drop out. You need to keep going. And I know that sometimes it's hard, but there is somebody, always, even if you have to put an ad in the paper and say, somebody, anybody who knows anything about this subject, please call this number. You have to want to be successful. Everything in life is not going to be easy, and when things get hard and the going gets tough and you go through storms, it's not a time to give up, because that's going to happen in your life. There are going to be storms. There are going to be hard times. Times when you want to throw in the towel, but there should be something inside of you that says, I'm not going to give up, and whatever it takes for me to complete this, whatever it takes for me to finish this, I'm going to do it until the end. I'm going to do this thing until the very end. You don't want to have a spirit of giving up. There are going to be some times, if you give up now, you say, I'm 16 years old, I'm going to quit, then what are you going to do when the storms happen in your life? What are you going to do when the winds start blowing in your life? You going to quit life too? How do you quit life? How do you quit living? What does that look like? What does that feel like? You love yourself, obviously, because you don't want to go through hard times. I don't understand chemistry. I don't understand trigonometry. I don't understand algebra, so therefore I'm going to quit school. Right? Then what happens in life? Well, you don't understand why this is happening. You don't understand. You don't even know what this is for. You're going to stop living? No. So therefore, you need to learn how to cope. It's called coping skills. And part of coping is praying to God, because God is way bigger than all these things that are happening, and God will lead and guide you. Because things are going to happen in life that's going to be difficult. It won't be in your life. It won't be chemistry. It won't be trigonometry and algebra. It'll be storms in your life, things that you don't understand. Why in the world? What in the world? How in the world? Those particular things. What are you going to do? Quit? You quit living? Go give up? Go get upset with people and go off? No, that's ignorance. That's foolish. You're going to pray to God, and you're going to keep life going. You're going to keep moving forward. There's no need to stop living for what? There's no need to give up for what? You got too much to live for. You're smarter than that. You're tougher than that. You're a soldier for Christ. When you're a soldier for Christ, you know the storms come. But we're not giving up. We're going to keep going. Life goes on. Right? And, you know, you fall down, get back up. Get back up, and get back up with a lot of dignity, a lot of confidence, and keep it moving. There's no need to say, woe is me. There's no need to feel like, I can't go on. Yes, you can. You can. Just get up and keep walking. Amen? Amen. What else is in here? We talked about, then I gave you a little quiz. I believe that Jesus has a calling on my life, a kingdom work, yes. I'm going to answer some of these questions. I'm willing to accept the calling that Jesus has placed on my life, yep. I feel that my calling is in ministry. I will seek help from a mentor. I'm already doing that. I know my purpose in life and have accepted it, and now I'm working towards it, true. I have accepted God as my Lord and Savior to build a relationship with Him, yes. I read the Bible daily so that I may grow in the Word of God. Yes, most of the time I read the Bible. I need to be more consistent in reading the Bible every day on a daily basis, but I do talk to God on a daily basis. I know where my destination is. I just need some guidance. Yes, I work toward my calling each day by my actions and how I treat others. Yes, I am very intentional about how I treat others. When I say that, I stay out of, you know, I used to be a loner, and I see why. But, you know, I talk to many people, but for the most part, I like to enjoy being with myself, my family, and some of my close friends. But each and every day, before I go to bed, I said, is there anyone that I have done wrong, anyone that I've maybe said something I shouldn't have, and I always try to think about that. And so far it's been no, because I'm very cognizant. When I get up, I have a positive attitude. I don't allow people to control how I feel, how my day is going to go. I don't allow people to control how I feel about myself, nor how I feel about them. You know, I understand that people fall short. We all fall short. I understand that people do some devious and evil things, but God has already commanded. He says, I've told you that you have to love each and every person. You have to forgive. He says, because I have abundance for your life. And once you have abundance over your life, God says that those things that can easily beset you, those things that can take away value from you, becomes null and void. And God says, I've placed a lot of value within you, and I've invested in you. And so, therefore, you have to continue to lift up the kingdom of God. And so the world has to have some type of illustration of what the love of God looks like. And so if I say I love the Lord and you see me acting a fool with somebody, then that's very contrary. Or you see me gossiping in somebody else's business and my harvest is running wild over here, then you're going to be confused, because how is it that I can talk about this person and my life is like this? And so every day when I wake up, when God blesses me to wake up, I wake up with a positive disposition no matter what. No matter if it's a storm, no matter what it is, I'm going to be positive every single day. And I've made that pact with God no matter what. There are some things in life that causes you to say, man, you know. But every day I say, this is going to be a good day. I'm going to do some great things. I'm going to meet some great people. I'm going to go higher and higher in God. Okay? I have accepted my calling, but I feel that I do not have the resources to carry out the work. Now, I've accepted my calling, and I feel that God has everything that I need. I'm willing to work with others to help them find their calling as well, yes. When we talk about who is the church, the body of Christ is the church, and our church, the church is our hearts. I pose three questions. When Jesus returns, will we be cleansed of our sins or ask for forgiveness? Will we continue to work for God? And will we be caught up in the act of love for the church? I want to talk about this briefly. You know, the church is a place, as I said before, of a refuge. It should be a place where people go and there's peace and harmony. And I talk to many pastors and, you know, I look online and I see things, you know, that happens within the Lord's house. And people are bold nowadays. You have people arguing in the church. We're talking about all over the country. People arguing in the church. I've read about people getting hurt in the church and things of that nature, and that shouldn't be so. The church is a place to come where everybody assembles together in a peaceful, calming manner. And it's very important. A lot of people wait till they get to church to pray. Let us pray corporately. No, you need to pray independently before you get in the church. You understand? And you need to rebuke Satan before you get in the church. Whether, you know, you could be praying or whatever you're doing, but it's very important. You have to make it intentional and say, Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, if you are near me or by me, I rebuke you, and I ask for the name of Jesus to be in my heart, because Satan knows how to sneak in. You know, we talk about the garden. That's why I went back to the garden. He knows that any little thing, Satan will try to sneak in and make it nothing out of something. Nothing out of something. That's how Satan works. And so when we talk about that, you have to rebuke Satan every day. I mean, it can't be like, okay, I rebuke Satan on Monday, and so I'm good to Friday. No, you have to rebuke Satan every time you think about it, because any little thing, Satan will try to make something that's nothing into something that's huge, that's stupid, right? And so you have to make sure. We have to make sure. We talk about a mobilized church with love. You know, if we have love in our heart, no matter where we go, our light should be shining. You know, how we treat people, what we do, you know, we have to make sure. One of the things that I tell people all the time, you know, I don't want people to tell me about other people. I want to know for myself, because what you tell me about a person, I may have a totally different perspective. I don't want to be, I don't want to prejudge anybody. I've been around so many people in the military, so many people in events and things of that nature. And I never, always, the perspective that I have is always my own perspective. It's not influenced by anyone else, because your bad experience with someone may be a good experience with me. That may, you never know the variables. You never know what that person's going through. That's how I always think. They may have had a storm. Somebody may just passed in their family. They may be going through an illness, and things of that nature. And so I don't, you know, one of the things when we talk about a mobilized church, I do not ask people about somebody. I like to know for myself, and I think that's fair, because, as I said before, my perspective, God says, my ways aren't your ways, and that's true. My ways are not your ways. I'm not God. I'm talking about my thoughts, and your thoughts about a person is not the same. And so I always like to personally form my own perspective. I don't like to be influenced by other people and what they think. For instance, when we're talking about a book, okay, you might not have liked that book. You might not have liked, for instance, that speech. You may not have liked that particular whatever, but I may have liked it, or I may not have liked that particular thing, and you may like it. So we have different perspectives, and so everybody should be respectful of different perspectives. And so when we talk about a mobilized church, we shouldn't be influenced by other people. We should form our own perspective. And then if you do have something against your brother or sister, then you have to pray for your own heart, because you're blocking a lot of your blessings because you're upset with someone. You may be a just because person, just because I don't like them. You may be a person, they've done something to me, I don't like them, period, point blank. So you have to pray unto God and ask God to bless your heart. Then we talked about a mobilized church with love activity. And it basically asks questions. Then it talks about perfecting our walk in God's will. And walking is vital, and people walk every day. But walking, we need to be walking in God's will. Then we talked about different aspects of walking, how we should walk in spirit and in truth. And so that's basically the gist of a spiritual guide on the go, perfecting your walk. So be sure to pick up your copy. You can go to bookworld.com, BOOKWHIRL.com. As I said before, my book will be displayed in New York, then in Atlanta. Then we're going to Mississippi, Louisiana. It's several places where the book will be featured. If you're interested, EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I am going to be focusing on some literature books and authors. I have an author come on Monday, God's Will, and she's going to talk a little bit about her book, and it deals with civil rights and things of that nature. But we're going to really focus on literature, especially for our young people, and I'm thinking about bringing a book festival here in town and things of that nature. But be sure to check me out. You know, if you're in New York City, I would love to see you. Come to my booth. Come talk to me. Come let me know who you are and what books you have out, or if you're a literary agent, love to connect with you, do some work with you. So that's the book. It's on Amazon, but go to bookworld.com. All you have to do is Google a spiritual guide on the go. You'll see it on many different sites and bookstores. It's in Barnes and Nobles as well. Praise God. Thank you, Barnes and Nobles. Yeah, it's in Barnes and Nobles and some other places. So be sure to check it out. I'll post it online. Yeah, so you're in New York, then come talk to me. Also, I wanted to tell you that God is good. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I have a few announcements, then I'm going to bid you good night. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friend by asking them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove, blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, writers, actors, actress, anyone with a positive message, please Facebook AlfredaLove at ALFREDALOVE or LinkedIn at ALFREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love for you to be on the ministry and connect with me. In addition to that, continue to pray for your family members. When you pray for your family members, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one. Do not forget to pray for yourself and pray for those you know and those you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Be sure to check out the new website. I'm going to have the website up a little bit later. Also, there are some events. As I said before, Spiritual Guide on the Go will be featured in New York City. So for all of you book lovers, please come and find Alfreda Love. I will be smiling, and I'm going to have on a bright T-shirt. Bright T-shirt. So be sure to come and support a Spiritual Guide on the Go, perfecting your walk with God. And I would like to also speak with you about having some literary camps at your prospective schools or in your communities. So please be sure to connect with me. Once again, it's EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. In addition to that, make sure that you just continue to trust in God with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all thy ways, and he should lead and direct thy path. There's going to be a workshop on education in Atlanta, Georgia, pretty soon. I will be giving you some details on one of the speakers, so please be sure to check that out. We have some literary conferences coming up in Atlanta, Georgia, and in Texas, Waco, Texas, preferably, and some surrounding areas, so check that out. I'm going to have some education workshops, getting ready to kick off a class, and so be sure to check that out. Continue to pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Continue to connect with me, media outlets, gospel artists, writers, actors, actresses, any type of literary book agents, please connect with me. Let me know about your events. If you have an artist or you have something going on, be sure to email me your flyer at emonya_love@yahoo.com. We're going to have a great time. I'm going to post, as I said before, some links for my book, and I'm also going to post some events. Be sure to check out the Kirk Franklin event in May. Be sure to attend that particular event in Dallas, Texas. We know that Mr. Kirk Franklin is our neighbor. He's up the street and around the corner. Amen. So be sure to connect with that. And just know that God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. You know, once we know that, then everything's going to be all right. I really appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. We have over about 800 individuals. So when y'all go to work tomorrow, most people are off tomorrow, God's will. So be sure to share this link with your friends. We're going to have some politicians on here. We're going to have some teachers on here. We're going to have some ministers on here. We're going to have some literary agents. And we're going to have some great people on the ministry, positive people, remember, who lift us up. And so be sure to connect with me. And I would love to have you as well. I would love to speak with you. If you have a particular gift, be sure to connect with me, because I would like to share your particular gift with the world. Amen. And once again, when God's will, you see me in New York City, I want y'all to come over. Let me know who you are. Let me know what type of books you write or what you do. And let's connect. Let's get some workshops going. And then, of course, check out my book, A Spiritual Guide on the Go. I'm online, and I'm just ready to serve and just be of service. Amen. Amen. There's some echoes, amen, in this particular ministry right now, but God is still good. So I want to appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in to the AfritaLoveShow.com. And just continue to do your best for God and continue to listen to the relevant noise. Amen. Leave that irrelevant stuff alone. Young people, continue to have high self-esteem and understand that God loves you, and understand that there's nothing too hard for God. So when it gets too hard for you, or even when you're going through a storm, just pray to God and you'll be fine. There's no need in being upset and angry with people and wanting to take them out of here or wanting to do something to yourself. And make sure that you find out free to love. Make sure you tell your parents, because I'm coming to a city near you, and we're going to have some conferences, and we're going to talk this thing out. I know that there are a million people who are doing conferences with young people, but I have something very special. There's a special touch about this conference. There's a special thing about this conference that you need to tell your parents. And parents, if you're listening, you need to come to these conferences. When you see Africa Love, I want you to show up, and I want you to show up in numbers, not just because of just the audience, but because these are things that you need. And because I feel like, and I believe, that you will get some great things out of this, okay? So every time you see Africa Love, I want you to be there and I want you to show up. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much for listening. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up, because God is love. Till next time, which is tomorrow, which is in a few hours, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Africa Love. Be sure to connect with me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. Also, we have bookworld.com where you can purchase a book. Thank you so much and have a blessed day. Thank you.